From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his series in Psalm 138. The great theme of the psalm is worship, particularly how God's people are to worship Him. This is an especially appropriate subject in this day of man-centered worship. Prior to the message by Dr. Cairns, we'll hear a devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, as well as some Christ-honoring sacred music. This morning's text comes from 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4. Partakers of the divine nature. To be a partaker of the divine nature is not, of course, to become God. That cannot be. The essence of deity is not to be participated in by the creature. Between the creature and the creator, there must ever be a gulf fixed in respect of essence. But as the first man, Adam, was made in the image of God, so we, by the renewal of the Holy Spirit, are in a yet diviner sense made in the image of the Most High, and are partakers of the divine nature. We are, by grace, made like God. God is love. We become love. He that loveth is born of God. God is truth. We become true, and we love that which is true. God is good, and He makes us good by His grace, so that we become the pure in heart who shall see God. Moreover, we become partakers of the divine nature in even a higher sense than this. In fact, in as lofty a sense as can be conceived, short of our being absolutely divine. Do we not become members of the body of the divine person of Christ? Yes, the same blood which flows in the head flows in the hand, and the same life which quickens Christ quickens His people. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Nay, as if this were not enough, we are married unto Christ. He hath betrothed us unto Himself in righteousness and in faithfulness, and he who is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. O marvelous mystery! We look into it, but who shall understand it? One with Jesus, so one with Him, that the branch is not more one with the vine than we are a part of the Lord, our Savior and our Redeemer. While we rejoice in this, let us remember that those who are made partakers of the divine nature will manifest their high and holy relationship in their contact with others, and make it evident by their daily walk and conversation that they have escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Oh, for more divine holiness of life!
Thank you.
How often have you passed a church displaying a sign which read, Revival, during a given set of dates? Yet how many Christians in this age of megachurches and seeker-sensitive religion have even the faintest idea of what constitutes revival in the scriptural sense? Down through the centuries, there have been remarkable visitations of God during which thousands were gloriously saved, times such as the Protestant Reformation, the revivals in England under John Wesley and George Whitefield, the Great Awakening in America associated with Jonathan Edwards, were times of genuine spiritual revival. The common factor in all of these events was an undeniable demonstration of the power of God rather than the ingenuity of man. In the late 1940s and early 50s, such a revival occurred on the Isle of Lewis, one of the Hebrides off the west coast of Scotland. In the course of several years, hundreds of people were converted to Christ, and many churches were built to take care of them. Again, the Holy Spirit of God came down in power. The preacher during those days was the Reverend Duncan Campbell. Yet, what took place on Lewis was not due to his pulpit skills, but to the overwhelming moving of God among the people. Strong men, hardened sinners who mocked the preacher, were suddenly struck to their knees by the roadside under conviction of sin. Young people in a local dance hall left their frivolity and ran to the churches crying for mercy upon their souls. Let the Bible Speak is happy to make available CD copies of Duncan Campbell's own account of what happened during those revival times on the Isle of Lewis. There is also a CD containing personal testimonies of people who came to salvation in Jesus Christ during those revival times. Each CD is $5, or you may obtain both for $8, which includes postage and handling. To obtain your own copy, simply send a check for either or both CDs to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just request the CDs of The Revival on the Isle of Lewis. If you wish, you may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. You will be blessed greatly as you listen to these accounts of the power of God at work. Today, Dr. Alan Cairns continues a message entitled, Timely Answers to Urgent Prayers, part of a series on Psalm 138. The text is from verse 3. In the day when I cried, thou answeredst me, and strengthenedst me with strength in my soul. Dr. Cairns first emphasized the need for a constant awareness of God's presence. The first theme of the message is found in David's words, "I cried." This expresses the agony of prayer. David often found himself in difficult and painful situations, something which is frequently true for those who seek to live for God. Then we see God's answer to David's cry. It was a spiritual answer, for it gave David exactly what he needed, strength in his soul. And now to bring God's word for today, here is Dr. Alan Cairns.
When I say this is the norm, this text, don't misunderstand that. See what the norm really is, and that norm is in three related themes. What's normal for a Christian? First of all, there's the theme of agony. I cried. The word and the idea behind it is one of extreme and urgent need. It describes an anguished soul in deep distress. It describes the painful sufferings of one who is in overwhelming perplexity. I cried. That cry may be with actual framed words, but it may well be that there is no coherent words or expression of this pain. It may well be that the psalmist is saying, Lord, I have often been in the place where I'm so deep down in my need, I'm so agonized in my soul that I cannot even get the words to say. I don't know what to say, and I'm so distressed I cannot say them. All I can do is cry, help me, Lord, help me in the day of my distress. There's agony here. Now, here's the thing. That's normal for a Christian. Somehow or other, most of us have fallen for the lie that if you're really saved and if you're really walking with God, that should not be part of your experience. That such agony of soul really is judgment, that it is because of sin. And I realize, of course, those things may well be true in given circumstances. But when you stop to think what the Bible says, you'll understand that it is normal for a Christian to face this agony. First of all, we're human. At least most of us, we're human. Man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. And becoming a Christian does not lift you out of the sadness and the need of the general experience of fallen humanity. We're in a fallen world. People keep on asking about the problem of pain and why bad things happen to good people. You know, the real question is why any good things happen to any people. That's the grace of God. We're in a world that's fallen. We are part of a fallen, suffering humanity. And we are certainly not lifted out of that simply because we're saved. Not only are we human, but we're Christians. And that's an added reason. The devil knows his own. Peter tells us that we should be vigilant. Why? Because our adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Our adversary, the devil. I'm sure you must at some time have read the book of Job. Not long ago I read through it again. And it's so easy to read through the words and not stop to think of the pain behind it all. Job in pains of body. A mass of sores. Job so ugly that a street urchin wouldn't look upon him. Job distressed in mind. He's lost his children. He's lost his possessions. He's now lost his health. Job having to battle three idiots who came pretending to be counselors and they'd have been far better staying away. Job in the daytime longing for the rest of the evening. Job in the nighttime longing for the morning because all hell was let loose and he was tormented in the nighttime with visions and dreams and nightmares that only doubled his pain and his suffering. Why? Why did it happen? Job's comforter said, because you deserved it. You were a hypocrite. You were a liar. You cheated the poor and the widow. You were adulterous. You were unclean. They made every vile and filthy accusation against the man. Modern charismatics, some of them have their own idea. And some of them have said, well, he said that the thing that he greatly feared had come upon him. And that was his sin he feared. I wonder that nobody ever reads the book to find out what God says. God says it happened to him because he was the greatest and the holiest and the godliest man on earth. That's why it happened to him. That's why. There's agony. You know, don't get me wrong here. I'm trying to back off a little bit and make sure I don't say anything outlandish. But I feel a little uncomfortable sometimes, even as I'm preaching and as I'm listening to singing. There's some great hymns. Onward Christian Soldiers. I love that hymn. Stand up for Jesus. No doubt we'll sing that during our Reformation month in October. I like that hymn too. Am I a soldier of the cross? Another great hymn. How often we have this theme of battle. But you know, it's come to my mind, and forgive me if I'm wrong here, but I would give anything to be wrong here. I don't think I am, however. Christians stand up and they sing, I'm a soldier, I'm battling, I'm this, I'm that, I'm the other thing. Preachers preach about us being in the battle, and we go out with our chest puffed out and we think, man, we're in a great army, we're great soldiers, and all the time we've done nothing but sing. We've done nothing at all. There are other armies at work out there, the armies of the wicked, and they're working night and day for their cause. We have Christians who will come and they will warm a pew for an hour or two. But when it comes to what they've ever done for God, to carry the battle out there, actually to do something to win the lost for Christ, to advance the cause of the kingdom, to reach out into the darkness and bring the light of God's truth, when it comes to those things, what have they done? Well, I've been to church and I've sung a hymn. Hallelujah. Keep on at it. But there's a wee bit more to it than that. I want to tell you, if you ever set out to do anything for God, if you ever set out to do anything for God, you'll know what agony is. That's true in every area of life. Does a parent not know this? You parents who have taken the burden of your children on your heart, who know what it is to pray over them and labor over them to present them before God and see His saving grace in their lives, do you not know what it is to have agony? Oh, they bring great joy. But I've never met the parent yet who doesn't know the agony of hot tears. It's true in the pastorate. It's true in the mission field. The first thing that's normal for a Christian is agony. But the second thing that's normal is God's answer to his cry. in the highest sense. This is the answer that Joseph said the Lord would give to Pharaoh when he said, God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. In the day when I cried, thou answeredst me and strengthenedst me with strength in my soul. The Lord's answer is speedy. In the day when I cried. Understand that when you cry to God, He hears at that time. Now, even in those cases where the final answer is delayed, yet God hears you when you cry and you get something from Him that's needful at that time. Take the case of Daniel. It was a long time before the final answer came through, but God heard him in the very day that he cried. God's answer is always seasonable. It's just what we need and when we need it. We were reading Hebrews 4, verse 16. Let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Finding grace to help in time of need. The idea is simply finding seasonable grace. Grace for the season. Grace that is right for the situation that you're bringing before the Lord. This is not a one-size-fits-all promise. There is a seasonable grace. God's answer is spiritual. It's not always what we expect, but it's what we need. Thou strengthenest me with strength in my soul. Now, there are times when David could rejoice when the Lord heard his cry. He immediately did the very thing that David wanted or felt he needed to have done. He lifted him out of the situation. He delivered him from King Saul. He saved his life. He did all sorts of things. But there were other times when the Lord allowed him to go through the deep distress, and he didn't lift him out of it immediately, but he strengthened him to go through it. Strength in the soul. Now let me put it to you. When we come to pray, that is the all-important thing by way of answer, to be strengthened in the soul.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.